Good evening. Welcome to the May 19th, 2022 Emmett County Board of Commission meeting. And I ask you to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Kuntz. Commissioner Dreyer.
Here.
Commissioner Aaron.
Here.
Commissioner White.
Here.
Commissioner Batchelor.
Here.
Commissioner Wargo.
Here.
Commissioner McGinnis.
Here.
Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda.
So move.
Second.
Motion a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Now down to the approval of the May 9th, 2022 minutes. Is there a motion to approve it?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We're now to the public comment period. Anyone wishing to come before the board has 3 minutes, and please step forward.
Carla Buckminster. I'm sorry that Mr. Boyer isn't able to be here in the room because part of what I'm saying, well, it's not directed at him, but it has to do with him. I have enjoyed having the agenda on the website, and in that agenda, at one point in time, Mr. Reeves was putting the administrator's report, and that was to go to you and also for the public to be able to see it. And toward the end, Mr. Reeves no longer was doing that, and I see for this meeting again, Mr. Boyer is not doing that, and I would request that he does do that. If you look in your own rules of procedure under 5.1, and I will read this, it says the agenda, administrator's report, and related materials will be mailed, delivered, or otherwise transmitted to each commissioner and posted on the county website no later than 3 business days in advance of the regular meeting. So it's kind of hard when it only says that there's going to be a verbal report. So now I'm going to take the rest of my 3 minutes and talk about something which maybe he's going to talk about. I don't know. What I wanted to talk about has to do with Bay Bluffs and the millage. And all of you, except for Commissioner Dreyer, voted to have the millage put on for Bay Bluffs. And as of right now, it's not even known that the bond that you issued in 2019 has even all been spent. Now, it's easy to say we're working with a COVID, we're working with a pandemic, but when you put that on the millage, the workers that were available was the same then as they are now, and there's been nothing going on over there as far as the millage, as far as any report that I've heard. I had communication with Bay Bluffs today and asked, and you might be interested in knowing this, I asked about the dining room projects. Those were supposed to be part of the 2019 bond. The dining room projects are not yet completed. A walkthrough with the architect and contractors is scheduled for tomorrow morning. The fire marshal is scheduled to be on site on May 31st for the inspection. Here's what's interesting. The residents are still taking their meals in their rooms or in small groups in neighborhoods. We've been without access to the dining room since October of 2020. And those people are paying over $300 a day to be in those rooms and not be able to get out of them, even for a meal. My time is up. Is that what you're
yes.
saying? Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to address the commission?
Good evening. My name is Wid Lyman. I live here in Petoskey. I have a doctorate in transportation engineering with a specialty in mass transit from the University of Massachusetts. In 2019, Emmett County was treated to a taste of taxpayer-subsidized mass transit in the form of EMGO. Because my wife, Izzy, was a commissioner at the time and on the transportation committee, she shared with me, at my request as her constituent, the monthly EMGO numbers on funding and ridership. Here's what I learned. Number one, at its peak, EMGO provided about 1,200 rides per month, which translates to about 600 round trips, with approximately 100 to 200 people using the service, the vast majority of which were in and around Petoskey. Number two, most of the rides were for shopping and medical appointments. Very few were work-related. Fewer than 10%, in fact, contrary to feel-good press releases. Number three, the average tax subsidy per ride was about $34, mostly by Emmett County taxpayers, the rest by other government entities. Still taxpayer money. As an example, Izzy and I rode Straits Regional Ride from Petoskey to Sheboygan last summer. I calculated the cost to be between $60 and $80 for that trip. We each paid $4. Conclusions we can draw from the EMGO experiment. Number one, we currently have more than sufficient public transit in Emmett County with SRR and the Friendship Center. Both entities operate well below their capacities, as evidenced by empty and near-empty buses almost 100% of the time. At a past meeting, the Friendship Center shared with this board that their buses are very underutilized. Number two, transit's exorbitant costs, both capital and operational, are a fiscal drain to taxpayers. And outlying townships who benefit little from these services are justified in opposing such a boondoggle. And number three, a transit authority is the worst, most harmful path to follow, since it would be self-preserving and insensitive to taxpayers' concerns. To summarize, it is clear from the EMGO debacle that Emmett County's transportation needs are currently met with the existing services, and going forward with a transit authority would be folly. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to address the board? Seeing none. Next would be our administrator's report. I understand he is on Zoom.
Thank you. Good evening. And I did not think my first week would start off with me being quarantined, but it did. And I'm happy as we move forward to give the reports to you in writing. Tonight I don't have a report for you. I've been out of the office for the last couple of days, but Pam does have an update on our budget process. And Pam would like to share your report.
Yep. Can you hear feedback on my computer when I'm talking?
No, you're fine, Pam.
All right, good. Okay. There, now it's on. So on the three-year comparison, the biggest thing that I want to make note of is last year we had six payrolls in March. Six payrolls reported. This year we have seven. So that's going to be around $394,000, an increase to when you look at the budget numbers. So that's going to be one of the biggest differences that we have. Expenditures are currently at around 21% of the budget, which is very good. So it means at the quarter mark of the year, we are under what we have budgeted. Revenues are around 5%. They're coming in slowly, but we will have more revenues coming in the next couple of months, and that just has to do with timing of grants, all of our revenues for taxes, and those types of things. And just a quick note on airport, jet fuel costs are around $209,000 in our revenue, and that's an increase from last year. And then for this year, the revenues increased to $156,000. But I do know jet fuel is really going bonkers money-wise. If you take a look at the graphs that we have here, it kind of tells you the story of where we're at. And most of these, again, this goes back to the three payrolls, or seven payrolls for first quarter in 22 versus six in 21. Does anybody have any questions on the general fund portion of it?
Mr. McGinnis?
Pam, thank you for the bar chart.
Yeah, get it on here.
Can you hear me, Pam?
I can hear you.
Okay. Thank you for the bar chart. The Helston revenues look great, of course, at 520, and this is through April, I believe.
No, what I have up on the screen, Charlie, is through March.
Through March, okay.
I'm always behind, and the reason is most of our bills get paid, they're pushed out 30 days, so I can't even get an accurate accounting if I were to give it to you for me.
That's fine. I remember we've had that discussion in years past. There was no point in trying to be more up to date when stuff was still coming in. So through March, revenues at Felston are 520, and they look great compared to the previous 2 years. And then we look at expenses and carefully look at the dollar amounts there. They're at 722, so it was a net negative for the first 3 months, but that's regarded as a part of the year where net negative is normal, if I'm not mistaken. And then in the summer, as the fuel cost, as the fuel revenues, other activity increases, the number that's currently net negative will flip to net positive.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions on general fund? I'm going to kind of go over to Article 1.
There are none, Pam. Go ahead.
Okay. So as of May 18th, we have spent $337,542. Of those funds, wages and benefits are $330,522, and this includes the operations grant director and the hazard pay for all staff. And then there's a couple of other things that we purchased. So Bear Creek Fire Department received pagers, and we did that at a 50% match, and that was $1,006. We also have some expenses that we're charging off for the operations branch director, and telephone was $144, so not a whole lot. We also had our auditors, the averaging company, did the revenue loss calculator. That was $3,000, and to date, for public sector consultants, we spent $2,579. So with that being said, we still have $2.9 million left in that account, and it's in its own fund. We expect to get the other portion of these funds in June. That's really all I have. And if you go look at the second page after the memo, I've broken out everything that has been spent.
Pam, I appreciate you getting these memos out. I know you're on medical leave to get them to us. I appreciate that.
Not a problem.
Any questions for Mrs. Gibson? Mrs. Dreyer?
So, Pam, have we paid the NLEA contract?
Yes, but that is in the general fund.
I thought we were going to pay an NLEA contract out of the ARPA funds. That was the discussion when the contract came due, and that's what I was told, that they were going to come out of the NLEA funds. So I'm just wondering why they came out of general.
Well, what's going to happen, Tony, is if you recall from all the ARPA discussions and all the changes that came through, the best thing for us to do is use it all as lost revenue. So eventually, all of these funds are going to go back into the general fund, but we will track it just like that. We, you know, track what we spend.
Thank you.
Mr. McGinnis?
Pam, at Big Lux this morning, we had a discussion about the direct care worker pay that was authorized by the state to retain nursing home staff. And so when I saw the hazard pay, it reminded me, this is not identical at all, but I can't remember exactly how that was paid out. Was it a one lump sum for each employee?
Yes. So the way it worked is everybody got 1,500 hours. So if you recall back in 2020, some of the staff received money, so they got the difference of what they received versus the 1,500.
Okay. Thank you. But it was a lump sum. It wasn't the regular.
Yes.
The fear.
That's correct.
Okay. Thanks.
One time.
Any other questions? Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Is Mr. Boyer still on?
Yes, he is.
Dave, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
One comment I have is that the meeting on the 26th, May 26th, which was, we were going to discuss transit, can you get the word out that that's been canceled?
I have waited to let people know that it's been postponed, yes. We'll get the word out.
Yes, postponed would be great. Thank you. But we need to get the word out to the townships and everyone that's been postponed. Anything else? Anything else, Dave?
That will do it. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Boyer?
I'll just say thank you for agreeing. We did originally agree. Carla was right on when she talked about the administrator's report, and I appreciate your willingness to do that in writing. I know that's one more task to do, but it is very helpful.
All right. Thank you. Get well, both of you.
Thank you. Not the way we wanted to start the first week.
No, it can only go up from here, Dave. Next item is claims and vouchers, committee and travel vouchers.
I recommend approval of the claims and committee travel vouchers as presented. Or no, wait a minute. I move for payment of the claims in the amount of $3,023,536.71 and for payment of the committee and travel vouchers, $4,803.72.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Motion is second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Commissioner Dreyer?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Batchelor?
Yes.
Commissioner McGinnis?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Wargle?
Yes.
Thank you. Our next item on the agenda is new business, a DPW contract for tire recycling with CM Rubber.
Making motions, but Dave, you were not at the at the DPW committee.
I was not.
Okay. So the committee reviewed it and agreed that this was appropriate. So I think based on that, I don't want to be the guys making all the motions, but I guess since we're talking DPW, I can go ahead and do that. I move to approve the contract with CM Rubber for tire recycling and hauling services for another 2 years with the price indicated in attachment A of the contract. And authorize the county administrator to sign the contract that they have to prepare for you.
I'll second it.
We have a motion to second. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Commissioner Aaron?
Yes.
Commissioner Dreyer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Wargle?
Yes.
Commissioner McGinnis?
Yes.
Commissioner Batchelor?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes. Next item on the agenda is for the Pelston Airport for a ground power unit, RFP, and award a contract.
I move to award the bid for purchase of a ground power unit for the airport to Aero Specialties in the amount of $46,545.25 and authorize the county administrator to sign the purchase order and any other required documents to facilitate the purchase.
A motion of support. Any discussion? Mrs. Dreyer.
Did this go to the airport committee?
Yep.
Okay, so that was their approval to pass it because I didn't see that in the motion. All right, and are the funds coming from airport or general?
Airport.
We got it. Airport. Okay. All right, those are my questions. Thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Commissioner McGinnis?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Dreyer?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Batchelor?
Yes.
Commissioner Wargle?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Next item on the agenda is the ambulance power loading cots purchase approval. not, there is a motion.
I'll make the motion, Chair. I move to approve the bid from Stryker Sales LLC for the purchase of two power loading cots for Emmett County EMS ambulances in the amount of $56,968.86, and authorize the county administrator to sign the purchase order and any other required documents to facilitate the transaction.
Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion to second. Any discussion? Any comments, Mr. Weston, on these cots?
Do we need one for each truck?
Yes, and the ones that these are replacing are 4 years past their 7 year service in the life. We've already had two terminal failures of cots this year, so we're in dire need.
Yeah. Can you use another term besides terminal?
That's what I was going to say, too.
That's what it is.
You're talking about those vehicles saying terminal.
Squished.
Oh, boy.
Any other questions or discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Commissioner Batchelor?
Yes.
Commissioner McGinnis?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Wargall?
Yes.
Commissioner Dreyer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Aaron?
Yes. Next on the agenda is equalization GIS L4029 tax rate request.
I move to approve the 2022 L4029 tax rate request and authorize the board chair to sign the form on behalf of the entire Board of Commissioners and authorize the finance director to sign the form and submit it to the Michigan Department of Treasury.
Is there a second? We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on this motion?
Yeah, I've got a question. Pam, you're still out there?
I am.
So on this form under seniors, it's blank. And is that because it's,
and we will have, once that, whatever happens, once it passes, we'll bring this back to the board for another approval.
Oh, so that millage is up this year. I mean, I saw that it expired, so it's on the ballot?
Yes, for August.
For August, yes. Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
So, any other questions for Mrs. Gibson or Mr. Boyer or anyone? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Commissioner Dreyer?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Batchelor?
Yes.
Commissioner McGinnis?
Yes.
Commissioner Aaron?
Yes.
Commissioner Wargall?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Next item on the agenda is the planning and zoning consultant, and the planning director has asked me.
You'll note in my comments that I asked for a minimum of 2 years rather than just the 1 year for this contract, subject to review by the county administrator and an updated service agreement. In 2020, we did a full RFP for planning consulting services. This was the only firm that didn't require a retainer. It is the only firm that has presence in Emmett County. And so I am requesting that we move forward with Beckett and Rader. I had put out three requests for proposals this year, and I received one that said, sorry, but we're too busy to even acknowledge, and the other one didn't respond at all. And Beckett and Rader was the only one that actually responded to my request. So I'm asking for remainder of 2022 and 2023 as well, subject to review by the county administrator when that time comes.
So in the motion, you're asking for a consultant for 2022 and 2023.
Correct.
Subject to approval of the administration.
And budget.
And budget.
Would be the same arrangement at the same fees.
Okay. So we'll need to have the amendment for 2022 and 2023 if anyone wishes to make that motion.
I will, Chair. I move to accept the planning director's recommendation and hire Beckett and Rader as the planning, zoning, and soil erosion consultant for 2022 and 2023 at their hourly rate not to exceed $15,000 for each year, and authorize the county administrator to sign the contract on behalf of the entire Board of Commissioners.
I'll second it.
We have a motion to second. Any discussion?
I'll just say that it's really critical. The Planning Commission does very complex, detailed work. Beckett and Rader, I believe, in your assessment, is a vital partner and occasionally fill in where there are gaps. Am I correct?
That is correct.
So it's money well spent.
I would just echo, too, without them, when we had the high water issues, I think as a planning commission, we were struggling. So it's very important, I think.
That is exactly right. I would agree with that. Okay.
Any other questions? Comment? Roll call.
Commissioner Wargo?
Yes.
Commissioner Dreyer?
Yes.
Commissioner McGinnis?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Kurtz?
Yes.
Commissioner Batchelor?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes. That is the business before the commission. We're now down to appointments.
One more, sir.
One more. Oh, I'm sorry. I got
it. It is an appointment, but it's listed as a business item.
Yeah, my fault. We have Northern Lakes Economic Alliance opening with the return of Mr. Reeves, Mr. Boyer, to step forward. So we have a motion.
I move to appoint the new Emmett County Administrator David Boyer to the Northern Lakes Economic Alliance Board to replace the seat vacated by retired County Administrator Mike Reeves.
Is there a second? Motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, this is a voice vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Now, and the appointment is for Randy Cochran, application to the Corrections Advisory Board.
I move to reappoint Randy Cook to the Community Corrections Advisory Board.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion on Mr. Cook's? Hearing none. Roll call.
Commissioner McGinnis?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Dreyer?
Yes.
Commissioner Batchelor?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Wargo?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Under communications, we have a letter regarding the transit authority and transit discussion we'll review and look at. And now we move to the fun part of the program, the committee report. Who would like to be first?
I will. Mr. Chair, thank you. Met with the community corrections for the first time since Mike Erickson has taken over the position, and look forward to working with Mike. Had a Sanitary Board of Appeals meeting that went quite well, and looking forward to this coming Monday where we get to give you a word on the historical commission for the writing for the elementary kids. That will be presented here at 3:45 on Monday.
Super. That's your report?
That is, sir. Thank you.
Anyone? Who's next on that?
I can go. Mr. Cool. So, Brownfield Redevelopment met on May 17th, and we accepted an application from Hahn Development seeking Brownfield Redevelopment status for the loss at Lumber Square. That's a project we've heard a lot about. The committee accepted the authorized them to proceed with the application, so accepted the preliminary application. They'll proceed with the details, and they have several steps to go through before that will be finalized. But this is exciting because I'll read here what it says. The loss at Lumber Square, that's the old Hankey Lumber property in downtown Petoskey. The loss at Lumber Square will consist of a single three-story slab on grade stick frame elevated building with one, two, and three-bedroom units available to moderate income families with 60 units. And this will actually be based on affordable for people that are within, I think, 30% over the poverty, definition of poverty in Emmett County. So it really is going to be targeted to workforce housing. It's not going to be market-based housing. So it's, I think, of the projects that I've seen in the last year or so, this is the first one that actually is targeted to it. The workforce housing. So that's kind of exciting. And on the Board of Health, since our last reports, Lisa Peacock has accepted the severance offer that the Board of Health gave to her, and Dan Thorell has taken over as the acting director of the Health Department. So that's the big news on that front. And that is my report.
Thank you very much. Would you like to go next?
I'd like to build on Matt's part of mine, if you don't mind.
Please. Go ahead. Thank you.
In addition, the Board of Health remains a real challenge. Yeah, I don't have any other word to describe it that's polite. And among the issues are the inability to hire a chief financial officer. Now, I know that Babe Lutz was struggling to find one, but they did find one. And I was speaking this morning talking about the environment, and it was commented by somebody else knowledgeable in the healthcare field that the Board of Health will be uniquely challenged to hire a chief financial officer. They have to contract the work out to a CPA firm somehow or other. I'm on the committee to rewrite the job description for the health officer, and I'm hopeful, but I'm a hopeful person, but I'm not sure how it's going to go. I think that we're very fortunate to have Dan Durrell working as an interim health officer, but we will see how things go in the near future. So that's what I want to say.
There are some challenges on the committee I'm working on as well.
And the reality of it is that the way the rules are written now, three counties can drive the train, and a county happens to be the largest single contributor of local funds to the Board of Health, and the other three can outvote us, and that creates, I think, a real problem for Emma County, and I am hopeful, but not based on experience. Big Loves, I sent you all a report, and I'll give Carla my printed copy here. We did talk about the ongoing construction project that has been really disrupted by the pandemic, and in fact, Babe Lutz now, having navigated 2 years without a COVID case among its residents, now has become such a hot spot that is on a real lockdown right now, and only one death, but at Babe Lutz, that is so many comorbidities. It may have been related to COVID, but the individual most there are was terminal. But there are 20 residents who have tested positive lately, and the state has supplied 7 employees to help out. There was a walkthrough scheduled for tomorrow that Mr. Boyer was going to go to, but given his situation and the continued lockdown, I don't know that. I suspect that's not going to happen, but that issue of completion of the project has been a challenge since day one, because the contractor couldn't come in for months, and then the contractor's employees turned over, and then you ask the company to come back in and do work, and they're having to find employees, and Big Lutz has to put people through all sorts of protective actions, so it's very difficult. So the population is down, and that brings revenues down. There are 60 people on a waiting list to get into Babe Lutz right now, 60, and there's no way to get them in. The people that are the most financially beneficial to Babe Lutz are the Medicare patients, and many of them come from the hospital, which has people that it needs to get in, and Babe Lutz can't take anybody right now, so it is very difficult. That's why I, once again, why I write a written report. Babe Lutz is an important element of our county. As I indicated here, it had a net operating loss of $173,000 for the first quarter, and that will come out of the cash reserves at Babe Lutz. But someday, when this pandemic turns into an endemic, and they can emerge, we'll see what happens. With regard to the airport, you saw the bar chart there. Fuel sales are up. Jet fuel sales are up by 14% for the first 4 months of the year. And low-lead, the gas of the little planes, is down 3%. Ryan, the airport manager, continues to do an outstanding job there and is going to be, apparently, if I understand correctly, doing an inspection of all the rental hangars at the airport, because the trajectory of an airport hangar is that there's an airplane in there for a few years, and then the airplane, the owner loses his medical and sells the airplane, and then the hangar becomes household material, then it's a trailer, then it's a boat. And so that's happened at every airport. It's not unique to Fellston, and I don't know if it's happening at Fellston, but Ryan's going to do a survey to get a better idea of just what exactly the situation is. We looked at our capital plan, and the hangars all need work. They are pretty grim, but they need to be looked at. Ryan's on it. That's all I got. Thanks.
Mr. Ahrens?
I was disheartened to hear about our past patient. That's sad.
Oh.
That's really sad. Well, last week, the chair and I attended the NLEA symposium down in Boyne Falls, and a couple speakers had some pretty good, there were some technical glitches with the remote coming in, but video. But there was a good overview of forward thinking and the 20,000 foot view. Right, I know with COVID and everything coming at us all the time, we're kind of got our heads down. What are we going to do about this now? Here's another fire that popped up. But we have to think that we have to still keep our minds open to that 20,000 foot view, because we're elected to be leaders and we have to lead into the future and think about where we're going to be in 20 years from now with the challenges we have in the country. And so that whole presentations last week kind of refreshed all that in my mind. That's also, you have to walk and chew gum at the same time. You know, you have to pay attention immediately to budget issues, things like this, but we also have to keep an eye on the future for our economy. You know, what's best for it overall. And each of us, even though we have a separate district, we all have to keep that in mind. We're part of a body that works together to enable these possible futures, our possibilities for our residents. Okay? Today I'm on the executive board of the NLEA, as I was graciously appointed by the chair. And different counties gave up updates and reports. The core partners gave an update and report. Dave Emmel, the president, gave his brief. And that's kind of how the meeting went. That's what it says on the agenda. I've handed out, I've got an extra one here if anybody wants to see it. Look at it. Here's the annual report, activities report. There's been a significant capital investment in commercial properties, a significant increase for this graph. They're not necessarily buying new properties and starting new businesses, but they're buying existing businesses and incorporating it into their business model. Industrial Magnetics Incorporated did that. They bought a couple other companies and merged them in with theirs. So it's not all new buildings. Our area is becoming increasingly educated. And of course, with everybody that loves to retire up here, and they have professionals and such, so, and that's gonna happen. But also the share of people with less than a high school diploma decreased from 10.1 to 7.6. So it means our younger people are graduating at a higher rate than they were. We do have all of the directors have signed and completed a conflict of interest and recognition of the code of conduct for all of us. So people are being held account if need be. Adam Quivisto, who issued extension, is part of the NLEA as well. And I've got a pamphlet here if anyone wants to see it, about a course online and self-paced, $45 for a mental health first aid. And it's like dealing with people who are kind of losing it at the moment. So it's quick. I guess it's a course on how to deal with people in a safe way. There's no veterans meeting. It canceled yesterday. We had to reschedule that for 2 weeks out. I've got a MAC meeting online in the morning tomorrow. Transportation and infrastructure. And those are my reports. If you have any questions, take them.
Neil, do they have minutes online for NLEA?
I haven't checked.
Okay.
But I will look for that and I will send them to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Aaron?
Nope.
Sure. Mr. Batchelor.
For my two committee meetings that have happened so far, I had some mandatory work obligations I had to attend, so I was not at DPW or Parks and Rec.
Right.
And next week is airport.
Yeah. Mr. Dyer.
So I will do a quick on the Parks and Recs. Tree service work was accomplished at the fairground, stump grinding at the Headlands, Little Traverse Wheelway, winter debris has been blown off the trails, and volunteers from the Trails Council assisted with picking up trash from the trails. Seasonal staffing, let's see, there are 4 slots yet to be filled, and I'm not sure whether those are filled yet or not. There's 2, okay, that's the lady who knows. Park programming, the first annual Fairground Egg Scramble was held on April 16th with over 170 children and 200 adults in attendance. I know that Ryan said that that was more than they had anticipated, and so next year they're going to be planning for much more to happen. Crooked River Locks, let's see, is now open. The water is up to the summer levels. The Army Corps of Engineers has performed their annual spring maintenance. Camp Petasiga water has been turned on, and a few water lines. I know that there's people camping out there, so I'm sure that by now all of that's done. The dome is gone from the airport. We did receive pictures of that, so that saga has ended.
Nice.
Yep. And the continuation of the Parks and Rec master plan. So, again, go online, and if you see anything that you'd like to suggest to the Parks and Recs, please do so. Paradise Lake Improvement Board is my PLIB. We did have a Restoration Lake Services came in and did a report for us. The presentation of the SAD rule was accepted with a caveat that Mary Mitchell is working with Ash on that. There's going to be very minimal changes to that, and once Mary and Ash do that, then we gave approval to move forward with that. So things are looking good for Paradise Lake. Road Commission, they did reject one of the bids for the Lakeshore Drive reconstruction project, and I believe they said they were going to go out for bids again. I'm not sure about that, but the bid came way over what they felt what they had put out for bids, so they're going to rebid that. Review policy number 2022-006 for dust control for all of the townships. That was approved. And again, for all other cases, you can go to the Emmett County Road Commission to their website and read the minutes verbatim. And then two, Tammy, if you wouldn't mind helping me out just a little bit, I'd like to, I'm going to put you on the spot here. But Neil talked about an eye on the future, and another commissioner earlier this evening talked about what is Emmett County doing about housing. And if you wouldn't mind, would you come up and talk about the things that we're passing at the planning and zoning and just put some things on record? And I'm talking about basically like the Borland, the Montes, what we're doing with our master plan and the zoning ordinances that we're doing. So I know you can say it better, so if you wouldn't mind putting it on record for us and let the commissioners, because a lot of us are getting the same questions. What are we doing in Emmett County, and I know you can rattle it off a lot quicker.
There's a lot going on.
There's a whole lot going on.
A lot behind the scenes is happening, and some of the things are coming to fruition, hopefully soon. But we started with our master plan. We supported housing. We supported multiple types of housing in our master plan. So then we went to our zoning ordinance, and we looked at what can we do. We're not contributing necessarily financially in many respects, but we are allowing higher densities in our zoning ordinance with our planning and development residential overlay change to our zoning ordinance. We've decreased the housing size requirement to 5 to 6 feet for a single-family dwelling from 720. We've allowed now ADUs, accessory dwelling units, so people can have a main house on the property and a smaller house on the property as well, so they can house people full-time. They can't use it for short-term rentals, but they can house people long-term on their property without adding more property and adding a second dwelling. We have also allowed for duplexes, and we used to have a provision that required duplexes to be owner-occupied on one side. Now we allow for owner-occupancy to not be a requirement, so someone in the developer could come in and put duplexes on properties, which we're seeing. We have some in Southern Bear Creek Township. We have some off of Country Club Road on Woodview in Bear Creek Township where they're actually building duplexes, and those are actually in place in some, on some lots. We're with Beckett and Rader, we asked them to review our zoning ordinance in relationship to our master plan and also in relationship to housing to make sure that our zoning ordinance allows for the types of housing and the housing densities that we want to see. And so they have done that initial step in 2021, so now they'll be able to move forward with some recommendations, which they did have some recommendations. We're looking at those as staff, but we'll be able to go back to them and ask them for some real concrete suggestions. We have approved at the Planning Commission level, and it won't come to the board because it's been changed in the ordinance, so just the Planning Commission reviews it, but 126 single-family dwelling units within the next 8 to 10 years off of Pickerel Lake Road in Bear Creek Township. And then this next meeting at the Planning Commission, June 9th, we will be reviewing a planned unit development residential overlay for 156 multiple family units in six buildings off of Atkins Road. It's adjacent to the city of Petoskey. It's adjacent to school property, so the students should be able to walk to school, middle school or the high school. It has some amenities like a dog park. It has raised gardens. It has a clubhouse and a walking path in front along Atkins Road. That still has to be reviewed by the Planning Commission, so that's subject to public review, but there are things happening. We're seeing an uptick in the number of new dwellings that we're issuing zoning permits for. Many of them are higher end, granted, but we are seeing more and more. So there are a lot of things happening. We continue to try to move forward in a positive direction to allow more housing to come. I've been meeting with Bear Creek Township. I meet with the Little Traverse Bay Housing Partnership. Our Housing North Program Director, Andrea Jacobs. We're collaborating with Harbor Inc. and the City of Harbor Springs and surrounding areas and townships on maybe a community land trust model. So there's a lot happening in housing. You're not seeing a whole lot necessarily on the ground of development because the costs are just so high. And we're hearing that too. We do have several other properties that have been sold to prospective developers that want to put in housing. We just met with the tribe today, and they are putting in 50 moderate income housing units in their development by their Lears Road and 131 properties. So there is a lot happening. Brownfield, as you mentioned, we listened to a developer that wants to put in 60 moderate income for working families and working individuals in the city of Petoskey.
Thank you, Tammy, for thank you for letting me put you on the spot like that, but I know it's important. And this is what Charlie and I received today for our next month's meeting. So stuff is happening.
It's like phone books you have.
I know.
Is that all?
Actually, she said we're getting a digital too. So.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, Tammy, for doing that for us. I am complete.
The MAC, Governments and Finance Committee, met, and Mr. Aarons beat me to the punch but passed out the policies that we approved that are steps that they're asking the legislature to work on from governance, finance, and the other committees that MAC has. We also met with TAC, which is a subcommittee of the CCE, and talked about some issues there regarding communications for multi-jurisdictional events, paging. The meeting that would have been yesterday, you're all invited to the Tri-County Annual Meeting at noon on May 25th, which will be held in the new courtyard Marriott in Petoskey out in the Old Victories. And that's for all commissioners for all three counties to attend. Noon on the 25th. Also, I could not make mental health as they're meeting in Bel Air as we speak, but I did zoom in to the community action. But as you all know, I cannot vote, but I'm still a member. They had some policy committees. They also had a reported more housing in the northern Michigan area. They're doing Sutton's Bay. They're working with Homestead to build an 8-unit in Sutton's Bay. They also gave reports on Head Start, and they're going to ask for a waiver to cut down the number of students that are in Head Start because they don't have the staff to service them. And so they're asking for a waiver from the region to, in the current time, close that down. As I stated with Mr. Boyer during his report, the transit meeting on the 26th has been postponed to a later date to be determined, so that will not be taking place next Thursday. And I don't have anything else in the committee report, so we're to public comment. Anyone wishing? Mrs. Buckmaster. 3 minutes.
Kyle Buckmaster. This is just kind of a continuation of my first 3 minutes. And I just want to say I did not vote for Lee Bluffs and Director Lisa Ashley, and I have had really good communication since then because I let her know that even though I did not vote for it, it has been voted in, and now I want to see that money used. And I think that the taxpayers need to hear something, and I'm going to make a suggestion. A long time ago, when the community needed to know things, Charlie used to write letters to the paper, and they got attention. And I don't know if you can come up with some way other than just the county website. I know that's important too, but you need to tell these people they've been paying that millage. I've been paying that millage, and I see nothing done. Even if it's nothing done right, and let the taxpayers know what's going on with their millage money. I don't know if you can think of something, and maybe not just with Bay Bluffs. I mean, Tammy just gave a wonderful informative thing that it'll be in the minutes, thankfully, but I don't know how many people read those. And if you could do it more than just the Harbor paper, I know you got a lot of good press out of the Harbor paper. We don't even, I don't know where she's from, but we don't even have anybody here from the News Review. Maybe you could have a commentary or something. I mean, that's asking you to do more. I know you're all busy. Just a thought. I mean, I want to know what's going on with my millage money, and I want to know soon what's happening. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to address the board?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to introduce Mr. Brian Patton. He's my replacement as EMS director. Brian comes with an extensive background in education, has a master's degree in education, is a former adjunct professor with North Central Michigan College in their paramedic program, and he's been a supervisor for me during my 4-year tenure here. He started on Monday So we started the transition process, and I'll be with you for a couple more weeks. So I'd like you to welcome Brian.
Brian, welcome.
Thank you very much. I've been with Emma County since it first started, back even in the early months when we were trying to rapidly put systems together to get started on January 1st, and just been really excited to have been with the EMS through the whole process as we've grown with the continued support and everything, and looking forward to moving that into the future. So,
thank you very much. We look forward to meeting. Anyone else to come before the commission? Hearing none. Motion to adjourn. So move.
Second.
A motion to second. We are adjourned. Let's go.